And welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Yo!
This is going to be me, Tay, and Sean for this one. This is going to be a...
Fuck Travis.
Exactly.
Fuck him.
He's at home washing his tights.
And his nerdy bull crap.
He had to go shine his codpiece.
Yeah. Well, that's actually very true.
Yeah. So, we are going to talk about our second movie in our Valentine's Day date movie series.
Long Shot.
Yeah. Which I saw with my wife as a date movie, so I can evaluate it on those terms.
Oh, you saw it in theaters?
Yeah, saw it back when
it came out. In 2019.
Yeah. And there is a review at ToddWoffermovies.com you could check out for it. So I've already, it's in the can.
Yeah, so was that a review like right after the film?
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, nice.
You did as soon as it came out and you just, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Nice. We're catching up to our old selves.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like the Mandalorian. We're catching up to the present. For this entire month we're doing bubblies. So this is an actual champagne we're doing for this one. Nicolas Fouliette
from the Champagne region of France.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It is a Brut Rosé. So this, I believe, will be a blend of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir from the Champagne region of France. This is a splurge wine. Last week we did a Cremant that was about $20. It would be a good drinking wine. I don't want to say a pounding wine, but you could drink it in mass quantities. $20. It won't hurt to make.
We pounded it, but you don't have to.
Yeah,
we took it down like a Dyson vacuum.
Yes.
This one is going to be a little more splurge. It's going to be about $60.
This is the one you want on like the Valentine's Day. Like,
yeah,
it's a respectable.
You're sipping on it, pouring down the crack of whoever's ass. You're just kind of just going from there,
doing what you do.
Yeah.
I do that with every champagne. Should I not?
Yeah. I've even done that with like Shasta.
It's the bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can do anything.
It's the experience.
Yeah. If you want to add more bubbles, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
This one is going to be, you can even tell by looking at it versus the previous, the Cremant. It's much deeper, dark. It has a richer, like pink color to it. It's almost red.
It's almost orange.
Yeah.
Like an orangey, like there's so much more body to it.
Yeah. And it's vibrant. I mean, it's rich in flavor. It's fruity, but not sweet as wine can be sometimes.
You can tell it's from the Champagne region of France.
Yes.
It is full bodied, I thought. I mean, it would be a great like dessert if you're doing a nice meal for Valentine's Day. This would be a good like dessert with a really good dessert, like a creme brulee or something. Pair this up with it. It would be a very elegant dessert to have. Or you could do it with a romantic movie, either or.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a lot of flavor. I think you could do it. It'd be really good with like appetizers.
Yeah.
So if you're doing some sort of like cheese board, I think it'd be a really great sipper with that.
I agree. I mean, this would be a very versatile wine for like any kind of nice occasion. But yeah, this is the Nicolas Fouliette Brut Rosé.
So
scale of 1 to 10. If 1 is bone dry, 10 is like super sticky sweet, this probably is about a 3.5.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Brut, so it's going to be on the drier side.
Yeah, it's definitely going to angle on the drier side. The fact that it's a pink, it's a blush, will kind of up the sweetness a little bit. So,
yeah,
that's kind of where we are with that.
Definitely.
But at $60, look for this in the champagne section of your wine store. So, we're going to talk about Long Shot. I saw this in the theater. And I rewatched it, so it was interesting to go back and now watch it again. Even though it doesn't have the profound experience of going back and watch Sleepless in Seattle or Good as It Gets 25 years later. But it is interesting to go back and see the movie a second time and just kind of, reevaluate your opinions. I'm curious for both you guys, have you seen it before? And if so, what'd you think of it this time? If not, what'd you think of it the first time? So
I had not seen it before. And so I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know of it.
Yeah.
And so I had to Google it. And I was like, what film were we watching? And I kind of was like, okay, Seth Rogen, fair enough. And I like Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so he's pairing himself with another hot chick. Okay, fair enough. I was like, smart move. Mm-hmm.
It's the Adam Sandler strategy.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I get you.
Or Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was on Apple TV at the time, and now it's free on HBO Go.
Yes, as of today.
Yes, as of today.
Yeah,
we are live.
HBO Go.
I'm trying to think the best way to say this. I like the film. I do think the only thing I get kind of like, it's Seth Rogen. And so you're like, you know what you're getting into,
yeah.
You know, and I made a joke before the podcast. It's like, you know, people gave you like, oh, it's Michael Cera playing Michael Cera. And I was like,
yeah,
man, this is just Joe Rogan playing Joe Rogan. This is like the same film 10,000 times.
And Seth Rogen playing Seth Rogen.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Tuesday. Yeah. Sorry. It was like, yeah. But it was like, it's like the same. It's like, I've been there, done that. But ultimately I liked the film. It's just going to sound kind of weird, but it was like, we call this a rom-com, but was it more of a comedy that just had to involve a little bit of romance?
It had like a romantic.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And that's how I felt about it. It was like, I thought it was hilarious. I really did.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, but is it a rom-com? It was just like, and I don't know how to define a rom-com, but I was like, man, this is more just a comedy. Just happens to have two people that kind of slowly kind of get it on.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of feel it out.
Yeah. So, let's get it on.
Yeah. But I had not seen it before. And I can see, though, this, I would definitely watch it again, though.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I can see this being, you know, as any generation moves on about like, hey, you know, I kind of use Elf as an example. You know, it's like a certain generation has A Christmas Story as a Christmas movie, or Elf is now the new Christmas movie, or, you know, Christmas Vacation is a Christmas movie. It's like, I could kind of see this moving on as like, oh, this was like my rom-com. You know, this movie could, I could see like younger generation being like, yeah, yeah, like, you know, Long Shot. It's like, cause it's relatable. It's a long shot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right.
I think I like to think about romantic comedies kind of in the way of like bisexuality is like, you don't have to be 50% romantic, 50% comedy. It's like, you can be anywhere on the spectrum. You can be 10% romantic, 90% comedy, 90% romance, 10% comedy. I think for a large part of the 90s, rom-coms were 90% romance, 10% comedy.
Yeah. Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. They weren't funny movies. They were just romantic movies that had like a comedic plot. And I think we've kind of seen the pendulum swing back a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And this movie was definitely on like the 90% comedy, 10% romance aspect.
Then just for a quick recap, Reader's Digest, this is kind of a reverse Pygmalion, My Fair Lady, She's All That scenario.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Seth Rogen is a frumpy expose journalist.
That is a great word.
Frumpy is the right
word. That's a perfect word.
Yes. Kind of a grouchy, principled journalist who gets fired from his job, partially because of his principles.
And he doesn't even get fired. He quits on a principle.
It's a murky thing, yeah. And he meets up with his former babysitter, who happens to be now a, you know,
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State.
Unbelievable, you know. Secretary of State, by the way.
Yeah. Very powerful, very beautiful, very resourceful Secretary of State who remembers him from babysitting when he was a teenager and they hugged and he sprouted a massive boner.
Well, and they had the meet cute of being happening to be at the same party where Boys to Men was performing, which I feel like is, again, just Seth Rogen trying to get Boys to Men like to hang out with
them
in a movie.
It's like, this is the end where they had Backstreet Boys.
Exactly.
At the end of the movie.
But they had the great meet cute. I thought it was great. They got them in the same room and like were able to spurn this entire romance off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, basically they build, he's the ugly duckling. She's obviously the swan. They build a relationship where, you know, she's kind of in the position of, does she accept him for who she is? Does she fall in love with the guy, the frumpy dude that he is? Or does she try and mold him into what she needs him to be if she's going to be president?
Yeah.
You know, someday. And, and obviously the plot of the movie is that she's being groomed to take over the president of the United States.
Yeah, but does she compromise her morals?
Today,
He is the moral, like, rigid moral compass, and she has to sort of face down, do I compromise my morals, or do I kind of stick with him being the moral compass and, you know, stick with what I believe in?
There's also a little bit of an element of, is it King Edward, you know, and who abdicated the throne for an American divorcee in the 30s. of how far do you go for love
right.
in that situation? Yeah. How much, basically, and obviously it's a little more of a bluff in this situation. How much
like are you willing? Like Meatloaf, I would do anything for love.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. But not that. I'm sad we've never gotten a clear resolution to that. That is an eternal.
Is it not anal?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought it was kind of an anal.
I thought it was Dr. Pepper.
And you tell me Meatloaf wouldn't do anal? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be up on the top of his checklist. That's going to be.
Is he the front door or the back door?
I thought it was not sharing Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
That was what I understood. It's like.
Commercially, that's what we would understand. Yeah. Is that sharing a Dr. Pepper is what he wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's emphatic of no way. Yeah. I won't do that.
But I won't do that.
It has to be something phenomenal. Yeah. It has to be something fantastical.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know.
Yeah. And we'll never know, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. And it just, yeah, it makes me sad.
If you know what Meatloaf wouldn't do for love, just write us at cinemavino@gmail.com.
And technically, he's like, I'll do anything for love.
But not that.
But not that.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hot.
Hot. It
makes you think.
Hot. Yeah.
So this was a hell of a movie.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, I didn't really Google too much, but it didn't do too hot at the box office.
Mixed, I would say.
Yeah.
What time of year did this come out in terms of 2019?
This was spring, May.
Ah, that's a weird time for
that.
If you're trying to do like a romantic.
Well, thing. And May kind of conflicts with like summer box office hits.
Yeah.
So you start getting like the Marvel blockbusters coming out in May 2019.
Yeah.
I liked this movie. I thought it was good. As far as rom-coms go, it was believably romantic and believably comedic.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I feel like it was like Seth Rogen trying to pair himself up with someone who is unbelievably attractive compared to him.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this before the podcast. It's like, what else is Seth Rogen doing prior to this? Like, he had like The Dictator with James Franco.
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The interview.
Yeah.
The interview. Yeah. That's what it was called. But like, Seth Rogen's also making like rolling trays.
Yeah,
he's just living his life, man.
Yeah,
and he's kind of pulling the Adam Sandler now, is where he's just sort of making movies that he gets paid for, not really making movies that are great. And I didn't think this was that. I thought this was fun. I thought Charlize Theron was great. I thought the cast was great. Whoever was Charlize Theron's is it Charlize Theron?
I believe it's Charlize Theron.
I don't know.
Whoever her chief of staff was, the actress from Grace and Frankie. And a ton of other stuff. I thought she was tremendous. I thought she had great comedic timing.
Yeah.
She was the flat man. But I couldn't help but contrast this with As Good As It Gets, the other movie that we watched.
Yeah. Right.
And it was like such a complete, change of pace.
Because I watched them, not back to back, but I watched Good As It Gets first and then this one. And I was whoo.
It was refreshing after As Good As It Gets, where it was like the power dynamic was completely different because...
Completely flipped.
Yeah, flipped.
Flipped because, one, she was the older character, not that the age difference was as dramatic as it was in the other movie.
No.
And two, it was just... It felt more organic. It felt like there was actual chemistry between the characters.
Yeah.
And it felt like the pressure points on the romance was more... believable.
Yeah.
You know, in the first era, and As Good As It Gets, it was like the pressure points were on the characters themselves, you know, applying it where it was their devices, whatever. But in this one, it was more of external. It was more of the Jeff Bezos character who was whatever rich billionaire was buying up the media conglomerate.
Yeah.
It was Jeff Bezos, right? Right. Basically. It was Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Slash Rupert Murdoch kind of thing.
Yeah. And, Bob Odenkirk was great as the president.
Yeah, Odenkirk. That was perfect.
He's underrated playing an idiot, you know, because he plays somebody in Better Call Saul who's always, you know, he's a sleazeball, but he's always kind of a chess move ahead of everybody around him.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily know that until you get deeper into the show of how clever he is. He kind of hides it behind his kind of used car salesman personality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one complaint I had about this movie is the same complaint I had about The Holiday. Another movie we did for the Christmas movies, where they bring up the whole point of like the whole conflict of the movie is they bring up like, we can't be together. We live in different countries.
Yeah.
We're living across the pond. And then they just sort of yada, yada, yada over that.
Yeah.
And they end the movie with them happily ever after living together in like some sort of relationship. And they did the same thing with this movie where they're like, I can't run for president because you're too much of an uncouth slob who comes on his own chin. And they just sort of yada, yada, yada over that. And then she's president. And it's like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You just yada, yada, yada over the entire conflict.
Yeah.
There was no actual resolution.
And but I also like it's weird because like in those films, I think that like they're just like, okay, you know, like in that comedy, they're just like, it's okay. Yeah. It's a comedy.
That's the thing. It's that's rom-com trope is like, it just works out. It just happens.
Yeah.
It
it's like, well, this is whatever happens. Yeah. 100%.
You can hide behind that. The fact that it's a comedy, it's not meant to be taken seriously.
Exactly.
It's not a drama. You're not supposed to think about the consequences.
Yeah,
we're not basing this in World War II or like the Civil War or whatever. It's like this isn't meant to be crazy accurate.
Yeah.
Just go with it. The thing that I would equate it to is like, you know, I'm an amateur artist. I like to draw stuff, and sometimes it's like I'll draw stuff for my kid, just little stuff. Like he'll watch me draw, and sometimes like wherever I am on the painting, I'll realize like or with the drawing, it's like, oh, I don't have enough room to put Mickey's arm here. I've already, like, okay, I'm going to make his arm really, really, really short.
And hopefully,
like, nobody notices. You paint yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just going to draw, and I'm going to just do as best I can to hide that. And I feel like that's kind of where they are with these kind of endings, like the holiday. It's like, oh, okay, well, here you go. It's done.
Yeah.
See, it's Mickey Mouse. He just has a really short arm.
Yes. I didn't think about how I was going to get out of it, so we're out of it.
Yeah.
Yay. Credits.
Yay.
You enjoyed it. It's done.
Yeah.
But
it's fine for
me. But I think that's kind of the joy of it. It was like, you know, and if I'm going to compare this film to anything, this is how I was as I was watching it.
Cover your webcams, people.
It is that type of film to me is like a Hallmark film where it's just like, you know what you're getting into when you watch this film.
Yeah.
Like, you know what you're getting into. It's like, it's going to be, it's a love film, but you're going to, I mean, Hallmark's not going to have that. The innuendos and all the, you know, all the jokes that are in there, but it was like
learning the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, it was like, but you know what you're getting into when you watch these films.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know what I'm watching. And that's why I was like, I would say literally half the time, I was just kind of like smiling. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
And that's what it's for.
And it's like, you know, not taking it seriously.
Yes.
And so, yeah. But as I was like, you know what? I like this film. It's like, I get it. And it was like, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I will say I was on my phone a few times, just looking down. I was like, oh yeah. Oh shit. Wait, what happened there? I was like, okay.
But you don't miss much when you're
exactly. Yeah.
There's not so much going on where it's dialogue.
Yeah. And that was the vice versa of like, because it gets like, did I just miss a whole fucking like dialogue scene? Is that, I just miss the plot.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh,
did you think that in As Good As It Gets, Greg Kinnear's stitches were really big in the hospital? It was like Frankenstein.
And then all of a sudden, like the next scene, they were like violently small.
Yeah.
And
really overplayed how beaten up he was.
Yeah.
And also those guys, they didn't seem that strong.
Yeah.
Did not
For drug addicts.
Especially Skeet.
And they just kept going, Skeet.
It's like, man, did they happen to be like next to the set for Scream? And then they realize, hey, we need some people to beat up Greg Kinnear. You guys over there with the masks on.
Hey, you guys.
Come on over.
Yeah. Listen, I would beat up Greg Kinnear in a heartbeat if you asked me to.
Yeah.
I would. I mean,
it's like, okay, yeah, Neve Campbell, Drew Barrymore, y'all come over here. Let's go ahead and jump
on Courtney Cox?
Yeah. Let's get a working on this.
David Arquette, everybody just grab a shovel. We're going to.
But I think also, too, like this film, it's like, like we were saying, it's these simplistic kind of movie it is, where it's just like, watch it. Like, I mean, Beyonce, I wish I would have watched it in theaters.
Yeah.
And, but
so,
I was.
So did you watch it with Bailey?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No.
I was curious to see if you watched it as a couple, like what
you
thought of the date movie.
She was not in the mood for the movie.
Did you think she would have enjoyed it?
I think she would have. Yeah. I told her. And like, we got this whole conversation about how we should watch more movies. Pre-podcast, we were talking about how tired of watching hour-long episodes of TV. And I said, you know, you would have liked this. Now, I was shocked. It was over 2 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2 hours, 14 minutes.
And which kind of throws me off. And it was just like, because I was thinking like, an hour and a half film, no big deal. And I was
124 minutes.
Okay. I was like, hour and a half film, no big deal.
Long.
I'll knock this out. And I was like, oh, I was like, I mean, I know credits are kind of part of this, but me, oh my, I was like 2 hours. I was like, sweet baby Moses.
That's it's
like
lengthy. It's girthy.
Yeah.
Sean, did you watch this with Jonah?
I did not. No.
Do you think she would enjoy it?
No. I don't think it would have captured her attention. You know, and when you think about like what would be a great date night movie, you know, it's one that kind of keeps you magnetized to the screen where you're not really going to break your attention. You want to kind of like watch it, and the ebbs and flows of the emotions sort of capture you. And I don't think this did that. I mean, yeah. It was fun. It was funny and it was entertaining. Yeah. It was a light romp to have on screen in the background, but I don't think it was one that was going to keep you.
I agree. Yeah.
Tied to the screen.
Yeah.
So 1 to 10, what would you give it?
I would give it a 7. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a funny movie, and I thought it was well written. It was well acted. I thought the characters were believable, and I thought that the interactions were believable. But you know, it was not. It didn't change my life. I didn't feel like it was, you know, overwhelming. And I at no point I didn't leave the movie transformed.
Yeah,
it was a 7.
Yeah, I would very very similar 7. Yeah. Seven. Yeah. It was like
a safe 7.
Safe 7. It was like, but I was still like, I'd watch it again. Yeah. And I'd love to watch it with Bailey again. Introduce it and be like, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
Because it was funny because before that, there's, it came out in 2016, Christmas movie with Seth Rogen, the night before. And it was like, and we were wanting to watch it. And I remember us like clicking on the trailer and I was like, oh, sweet baby Moses, I don't have this in me. And I was like, I just don't know if I could do it. And I remember her even saying like, yeah, I just don't know if I have Seth Rogen in me right now. And I was like, that would be, I was like, I had to catch the right moment for this film.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like you said, Seth Rogen just plays Seth Rogen.
And I like it. But it was just like, you have to be ready for that.
And he can be very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he really is funny as shit. And it's like, don't get me wrong, but it was like, you have to know what you're getting into. But yeah, I think a 7's a good number for that.
Wait, what do you think? What's your favorite Seth Rogen vehicle?
Man. I hate to say it, it's a cliche, Knocked Up. I enjoyed that movie a lot.
I would say Pineapple Express.
That was good too. Both of those are very good.
This is going to sound really, really bad, but I think Superbad is one of my favorites. Yeah. And first of all, I think he just plays, and this is going to sound bad, but I think it's because of Bill Hader. Because I love Bill Hader so much.
Tulsa native.
And I think because he plays off that so well, it was just so perfect.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But Knocked Up was also one of my favorites. Yeah, I really, really love him in Knocked Up. Yeah.
And I'll answer this first to give you guys some time to answer. I'm going to ask, what is your guys' ultimate date movie? I'm going to go first in my opinion throughout my relationship with Joanna.
Now, hold on. When you say date movie, are you talking like a first date, relationship, marriage? I mean, I would say
relationship where you're like super comfortable.
Okay.
You're looking for a good date movie that you know that she will enjoy, you both will enjoy.
All right.
And then you watched it and both enjoyed it to the max.
Yeah.
I would say for her and I, to be honest, would be Dirty Dancing. She had never seen it. There was a million movies that she had never seen when we got together. And so we had to go through a whole checklist. We get to Valentine's Day. We generally, every year, will check a movie off of the Valentine's Day list that she'd never seen. She'd never seen Pretty Woman. We checked that off. She'd never seen Dirty Dancing. We've checked that off. She'd never seen, like, Ghost. I mean, all these big rom-com, like, you know, maximum peak movies she'd never seen. And so she really got into Dirty Dancing. She really enjoyed it. I always love that when she gets like, she loved Harry Potter. Yeah. It's not a date movie, but it's like, but she'd never seen anything of it. Didn't know anything about it. She watched it, loved the franchise. So it's a lot of fun when she really like truly gets into it. And she loved Dirty Dancing, not knowing anything about it.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot of fun for me to watch that with her. Cause it's like watching it for the first time, you know, it's like watching your kid open Christmas presents. It's like, you know, it's like you get to experience Christmas again.
Yeah.
You know, watching a movie with somebody who's never seen it and they really love it, it's like watching it for the first time.
Yeah.
And so Dirty Dancing, I think, was our best date movie that we ever did. Because, she really got involved in it.
I think Romeo and Juliet.
The Leo?
Yes, yeah. The Leo vehicle. I think that would be perfect date movie, it, just because it captures your attention. It's fun. It's
well acted.
Well acted.
Paul Rudd's in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Sexiest Man.
Yeah.
There you
go. Johnny Mission West.
Yeah.
My mom's high school alma mater. She's very proud of her high school having both Ted Lasso and The Sexiest Man Alive.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Go
yeah.
Royals.
Yeah. I don't think this, this might not be the best movie. Cause I mean, if you've been in a relationship for a while, you can probably, you probably have friends that have been in these situations. But, the one that Billy and I, we watched in 2019 and we've watched every year since was, Love Actually.
Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah. Well, I wish. Well, I watched that every Christmas by myself in the bathroom. but it was Love Actually. Yeah. And, you know, and I know there's just some weird scenes in it where it's like, well, this is creepy.
Does not age well.
No, it is not. And it was like, but I mean, I think there's a little bit into it if you're in a relationship already. And so yeah. I'm going to say this is a first date film, but it was like, you can kind of see like, oh, I've known someone that's been in that situation, or I've known someone that's done that, or I've known.
You've
like,
known the prime minister?
Yes. And he banged my best friend. And it was just like, and she was thick.
Yeah,
that was thick. And that doesn't age well. Yeah. But it was like, but it was like, I think there's some storylines where you could always like, you know, like, oh, wow. But I'd never seen Love Actually. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, what the fuck? And so we had to watch it. And I was like, I'm not offended by this, but I kind of like watching it too.
Yeah.
But yeah. I wouldn't say that it is a great date movie, but that's probably, that is the one that in our relationship that I was just like, oh, well, yeah.
I will say Love Actually is my mom's favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And so that kind of taints it as far as
date movies go.
The yeah. romantic aspect of yeah. it sort of tainted.
Yes. But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so Todd, what did you think of this movie? Where did you rank it 1 out of 10?
I believe I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Did you rewatch it recently to kind of reevaluate that?
I think I stick by 7
out of 10.
Yeah. I think it is about that.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, a date movie, like you say, is not supposed to be like the most demanding movie in the world. It's something you can watch. I don't want to be crass, but it's something if you wanted to make out with your date, you could, and then check right back into the movie.
Yeah.
And not have missed anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you won't, there are no missteps here if you, you know, take a little Mac and break.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, if you're watching something that, like, for example, like I said, As Good As It Gets, there's some heavy drama where it's like you're missing important dramatic scenes. What was it, Seinfeld, where Jerry makes out during Schindler's List with his girlfriend?
Oh, that was 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, As Good As It Gets, and
Newman busts him on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, date movie, something like that, it's not an emotionally, intellectually demanding movie. It's just a good...
Yeah.
Movie that engages you for as long as you want to be engaged.
So, I mean, it's
fun.
So, you were talking about, you know, Mac, but basically, this movie, Long Shot, is the quintessential Netflix and chill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, even though it's or HBO.
HBO Max and chill.
Yeah. HBO Max and relax. Yes. It was like, that's what it would be right now. It was like, so.
Amazon Prime and grind.
Yes.
Hulu and do you.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, it's like I feel like that is what this film would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 100%. Yeah, I agree. I think it serves that purpose really
Tubi
well.
Tubi and Doobie.
Yeah. Ooh. Fubu and Do You. Wait, or you said that was Hulu.
Hulu right? And Do You.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way though. I mean that you can spread that over multiple.
Is Fubu TV still a thing?
Fubu TV?
Fubu TV?
For us, by us?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they still make that clothing line. Do they?
I don't know. We are the wrong demo.
Yeah, I have to look into that.
Or is it Fobo TV? Fobo? Fubo?
I have FOMO about Fubi.
Yeah.
We are the wrong demo here.
Yeah.
Let's stick to Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Anyway, we enjoyed this movie all very much, I would say. Nicholas Fugliatti, Burt Rosé.
Drink it up.
Yeah, if you're looking for a good splurge.
Very, very good, high-priced date night champagne.
Yeah. You know, because it's like your partner is worth it. Them, whoever, they're worth it.
So drink it up.
Spend that money.
Yeah.
And so next we're going to take a look at, I believe, City of Angels. City of Angels and Superbad are our next two films we're going to look at. We'll keep our looks going at Boba Fett and Vox Machina. I almost said Vox Populi. whatever it is.
Facts,
yeah.
Travis's cartoon. We're going to take a look at that and talk a little bit more about Travis's cartoon.
Travis's nerd anime.
Yeah.
In the lips of an angel. Is that part of that?
Is that Mouse Rat?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember.
The Legend of Mouse Rat.
Yeah. That I would watch.
Andy Dwyer.
The city I live in, the city of angels.
Ooh. I think that song's about California and drugs.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I think that's every song they do now.
Yes.
I was like, yeah. I'm pretty sure every.
It's about Los Angeles and heroin.
Yeah.
Just a guess. So
I was in Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band in high school. I'll just let that be known.
What was the name of it?
Reppers.
Nice.
Ooh.
What did you play? Who were you in the band?
I was lead singer.
Oh, you were Anthony Kiedis.
I was Anthony Kiedis.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah. We did City of Angels. God, what else did we do? I don't put me on the spot. I don't remember.
Reppers. I like that.
I hope you had a sock on your whatnot.
I certainly did.
Yeah. I think I would be Flea. I think I would be on the bass. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be good Chad.
That's fair.
The drummer.
Yeah.
I could see it.
See, I was a drummer and a singer, but the guy who we got to play drums was a lot better than me. So I didn't have much of a choice. Yeah. I kind of like it, you know, you can let it fly.
So yeah, we're gonna start a Chili Peppers cover band.
I think we should
as a side.
Yeah,
gig.
We should.
Yeah, we should.
I'll play drums. Yeah,
yeah.
That'll be our other podcast. Is our gigs doing Stadium Arcadium songs?
Yeah. Feel like I did that day.
And Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Oh,
hell, such a great album.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah. So
this has been another episode.
Episode. Music Vino.
Yeah. Not with a bang, with a whimper. Probably both.
With a bang and a whimper.
Yes. You can have both.
And we will see you guys next time. We got Taylor, Sean. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Keep it in, keep it out.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net. And reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.